Okay. Or as I say, okay. Today is Kuf Lamed Hey, new perek. Reishis Hagez. So when you shear your sheep, now you can sing. When you shear the sheep, you got to give the first shearings to the Kohen, one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna that we're going in. So this is why it comes after Zerel Chaim Akeva. Yeah. So because it's not connected to the land, it's noyig ba'aretz uvechutz la'aretz. It applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bifnei habayis, shlo bifnei habayis, whether the Beis HaMikdash is standing or not. Bachulin, with animals that are private property, of a loy b'mikdashim, doesn't apply to holy animals. We'll see in a minute what situation, or in the Gemara, we'll see what situation could there be where you actually got shearings from a holy animal. Because if it's a korban, you can't shear it anyway, so where are we going to get the shearings from? So the Gemara will discuss this. Chaymer, so now we just finished learning all about the Zerei L'Chaim and Keva, so we're all experts on that. So the Mishnah tells us, Chaymer b'Zerei L'Chaim and Keva mirsta geis. There is a strictness, a stringency in the halachas of Zerei L'Chaim and Keva, which we learned about in the last perek, compared to Reish Tageis, which we're starting in this perek. What is that stringency? Shazrei L'Chaim and Keva neigin babokar uvatzoin. That's what the pasuk says. That's a lashon of the pasuk. Bokar uvatzoin. So it's cattle and sheep. So that includes a wider range of domestic, what's it called? Fauna, not flora. Fauna, right? Fauna's animals, yeah? Fauna's animals. No, flora is... Yeah, it does. Zerei L'Chaim HaKeva is by a camel, so... Bokar. Fauna. You can't use fauna to describe a cow.
We can say a cow. It's not cow.
Okay. Anyway, whatever it is, it refers to bokar. So big animal, big bokars, and small ones. Right. So it's not just sheep. It's sheep and goats and cows and whatever. But ubemeruba ubemuad. It doesn't matter how many. If you shecht one animal, you have to give the Zerei L'Chaim HaKeva to the kohen. Whereas Reishis Hageiz has a minimum shear. As we're going to say now, a minimum shear. That's where the word shear comes from, because there's a minimum shear. Reishis Hageiz, Eina Noyagela Berecheles. First of all, it only applies to sheep. And that means not to goats, because even though you could get goats here, but that's not called shearing. When you get goats, I don't know how you get goats.
It's like a ram.
No. It's to a fuke something that doesn't have wool. So it's only... You shear a sheep. You don't shear a goat. You don't shear a cow. Yeah. So therefore, it only applies to sheep. And it applies only if you have a lot. What do you mean by a lot? It means plural. It's a minimum shear of how much wool in order to be obligated 3 bags full. The kamahu meruba. How much you gonna shear? Yeah, is 3 bags full. It depends how big your bag is. One second, we'll get to it. The kamahu meruba, how much is a lot of wool? Beshamay yomim shtei recheles. Beshamay say two sheep is considered, it's the smallest plural number, I guess, but he says that in order to be mechuyav and reish hageiz, you've got to shear at least two sheep. Shenemar yichya ish eglas bokar shtei tzoin. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, referring to the days of Chizkiyahu, when there was lots of brachas of God around, and therefore all they needed to make a living was shtei tzoin, you know, a sheep or two and a kangaroo. That's all they needed. Yeah, and an old rocking chair. Anyway, whatever. That's all they needed. So two sheep. So that's called tzoin already. The word tzoin implies multiple. You don't have one tzoin. Tzoin is like a collective noun. So therefore, the minimum sheep to be called tzoin is two shtei tzoin. That's what Beshamai says. Beshil alaymrim chomesh. You got to have at least 5 sheep. Shenemar chomesh tenasuyos. This is a pasuk in wherever it is. In Shmuel, when Avigail, when David was looking for food and he came to Novel's house, and Novel didn't want to give him anything, but his wife Avigail did, who ended up being David's wife. So she sent him 5 sheep. Asuyos means made, like bearing wool, etc. So that is 5. So he says that's supposed to, so it has to be at least 5 in order to be considered a a critical mass, a chashav, a collection of sheep. Yeah. Rabbi Dais ben Harkin asaymer, not only chamish rechelis, not only five sheep, but goydis dais mono pras. Each one has to have at least 1.5 the weight of a mono and a half of wool. So the wool, there's a minimum number of sheep and a minimum weight of how much wool is geshired in order to be mechuyev in the reishis hageis, and it's 1.5 mona for each sheep. For five, it will be 7.5, right? Is that my math right? Five times 1.5 is 7.5. Yeah. So if you got chamash rochelis gezis mono pras chayavas perish tageis. So that's a doisim in harkenus. The chachamim amrim chamash rochelis gezis kol shehein. The chachamim say five sheep doesn't matter how much wool you get from each sheep, but if you sheared five sheep in a session, from your flock, then you have to give reishis hageis. Okay. The common noisim loy. So that's the minimum amount you have to shear. How much of that do you have to give to the koyin? Yeah. So it doesn't. The chumash doesn't say anywhere. It just says the reishis, the beginning, the best, whatever, the first. Sorry. Yeah. You want to.
Five
okay, keep going. Save item. I know it's written. I'm about to read it. Mishkal chamesh sloy. Now you could translate the mishkal of five sloy. All right, good. That's how much. So five sellas. So sella is a currency. It's a coin, but also it was weight. In the good old days, when you had coins. The value of the coin was vaguely related to the weight of the coin. Nowadays, as long as it's got the queen picture on it, you don't care how much it weighs. But in those days, so therefore, sella was not only a coin, it was also a weight. So he says it has to weigh five sloim. Be Yehuda, which is now, they had different measurement systems. In Yehuda, what was five sloim, shehein eser sloim be Galil. In the Galil, they had a different currency exchange rate. And therefore, it was 10 Galilean sloim. It's like
they have also midborius.
They had metric system. That's that about sellers. Yeah,
I don't know.
Shekel. Yeah. Now, how much is the what shekel? And what flavor of wool do you have to give? Melubon. It has to be literally means whitened. It means cleaned. Clean wool. Veloit soyi, not full of. You know, when you cut it off the sheep. And worse, yeah, when you cut the sheep off the wool, I mean the wool off the sheep, sometimes it's quite dirty, so you have to clean it before you give it to the koyin. K'day last is a man of bigger cotton, and that would be the minimum size, says the Mishnah, to make a small garment. Shenemar, titen loy. Well, how do I know I have to give that much? Because it says, give him sheyehebe k'day matona. It has to be something that you would call it a gift, giving. If you give him too small, then it's not a gift. You can't do anything with it. Okay. So we take off the sheep and you clean it and you give it to the koyin. Lohispik nitna loyachatzava. If he didn't give it to him and meanwhile he dyed it, it wasn't supposed to, but he did. He dyed it a different color. Is potter? Then he doesn't have to give it to the koyin anymore. It will be analogous to the case we talked about in the previous perek. If somebody ate the Zroya L'chayayim and Keva and didn't give it to the Koyin. So we said he transgressed. He's supposed to give it, but he doesn't have to pay it back. Yeah, we said, if you remember. So there's Mom and Shein Le'tovim. You don't have to pay it to anybody. So
it would be the same reason here, though.
It's the same thing. Why not?
Because it's not an issue of no one being able to claim it. It's that it's not Mechoyev anymore because it's colored.
Okay, but he doesn't have to give anything else. Yeah, well, it's both things. Yeah, you don't have to give this wool because it's colored. So when it's colored, it's not the mitzvah reshta geiz anymore. And as Rashi says, it's koina b'shinui, like an egazlan. So it's like you stole reshta geiz from a koyin. Just like when you steal zreich la'am akeva from the koyin, you don't have to recompense anybody. So the same thing, when you steal the reshta geiz, but there's no one who can claim it from you, and therefore you don't have to give it to anybody. Libnoi. If he whitened it but didn't dye it, so that's what you're supposed to do, then, and that wool is still here, not that he ate it, it's still there, it's chayiv, so it's still, that's not a shinui. In other words, if you change the color, it's not the same thing anymore. So like a gazlan is koina when he changes something. If you steal something and change its form, so that's a kinyan. And then when you want to pay back the stolen thing, you just pay money. You don't give back the article. So the same thing over here. When he dyes it, he doesn't have to give the actual wool, and he also doesn't have to give money because there's no one to claim it. But if he only cleaned it, that's not a change, and therefore it still belongs. It is still the object itself, which is mechuyev in reishis hageiz, and therefore he has to give it to a kohen. Halakech geiz tzayne shel over kechavim. If you buy the shearings of wool from a goy, that means the sheep belong to the goy, and you bought the wool. Is potomers okay? So then you don't have to give any. Halakech geiz tzayne shel chaveiroi. What happens if one Jew buys the shearings of wool from another person's sheep? Is im shear, if there's some left on the sheep, so you didn't buy the whole sheep's worth of wool, you bought some wool off the sheep, so now who has to give the reishis hageiz, right? So I've bought your sheep, is making 10 pounds of wool, and I bought 5 pounds from you, so you got 5 pounds, and I've got 5 pounds. But reishis hageiz, we don't have to both give it, because it's only the first of the shearings. Is im shear, so if there's some left that was not sold from these sheep, is hamoicha chayev. That means the seller has to give the reishis hageiz from what he's got left. V'loy shir, but if he didn't leave anything behind, in other words, the deal was, I'm selling you all the wool that comes off these sheep, then halakeya chayev, then the obligation goes to the buyer to give the reishis hageiz. Hoyol shnei minim, if he had two types. What are the two types? Shechufos and levonos. Shechufos, Rashi says, is not black and not white. It's indeterminate. What's it called? Indeterminate? Indigenous? Not indigenous. What's the word I want? Anyway, it's gray. Okay, it's all sound gray. It's not white and it's not black. Because the parents, one was the black sheep, one was the white sheep, and in between they got the gray sheep. So if the wool comes, so he's got two kinds of sheep. Gray wool, gray sheep, and levonis, and white ones. Is mocha lo shchufes? So now here, let's say somebody sold him, one guy sells to the other wool. If mocha lo shchufes, avaloy levonis, if he sold him only the gray ones, but not the white ones, yeah, so then it's not a case of he left some behind, he didn't leave some behind, it's both, yeah? That means he gave him all the gray ones, and none of the white ones. Or, zecharim avaloy nekevus, he had male sheep, he had female sheep. And he said, I'm selling you all the wool from the male sheep and all the wool from the female sheep I'm keeping. So it's a clear-cut distinction. Then, they're both obligated. The buyer has to give reishis hageiz from what he bought, and the seller gives reishis hageiz from what he retained. Right? But if it was all one type, we said, if he only sold him half, then it's the seller's problem. If it's two different types and he sold him 100% of a particular type, then the buyer has to give the reishis hageiz from that type, and the mocher will give from the type that he's retained. Okay, that is the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. So, back to towards the beginning of the Mishnah, we said it applies only to chulin, not to kodshim. Is the question is, b'mukdashim my time aloy, why doesn't it apply to kodshim? Omar, so the answer to the Gemara, Omar kra, tzayn cha. It says, reishis geiz tzayn cha. That's the pasuk in Parshas Shoftim. And therefore, tzayn cha, your sheep, aloy, tzayn hektish, and not hektish's sheep. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. Time of the Kasa Rachmana Tzoyncha. The reason why you don't give from Hektish Reishis Hageiz is because the Torah wrote Tzoyncha. Halav Hachi, without the word Tzoyncha, what would you say? Hava Mina Kachim Chayavim Reishis Hageiz. Would you have thought that Karbonis you have to give the Reishis Hageiz? Halav B'nei Gizaninu. You're not allowed to shear Kachim. Yeah? When you make a sheep, HaRezu Oila, then there's no shearing going on. Yeah? You're not allowed to shear it.
If so how can I know the makdash davar shein mishaloi?
No,
it's property of hektish. How can you give away something from it?
No, reishis hageiz is not being makdash, but it's al derech. The same question, it doesn't belong to you. Not only does it belong to you, you're not allowed to shear it. So there's nothing to talk about. There's no wool to give. Yeah, tchsev loy sagayz becher tzeinecha. You're not allowed to shear the becher. If your sheep gives birth to a becher, you're not allowed to shear him. So what are you even talking about? You don't have to tell me that you can't give reishis hageiz from a korban. You're not allowed to shear it in the first place. Answer the Gemara, of course. If when it said here,
even for the hektish?
No, it's a korban. You can't do anything. You're not allowed to shear it. Don't shear it. Just shecht it and bring it as a carbon. So he says, sorry? You're not allowed to leave it for a while anyway. So you go and shecht it before it gets too heavy. If you're talking about a holy thing that goes to the Mizbeach, in other words, a carbon, is Hachinami. You're right. You can't shear it anyway. There's nothing to talk about. What is the Mishnah telling us that it doesn't apply on holy animals? When you're talking about it's not a carbon, it's something that was given as a donation, as a financial asset to the, what is it called?
The maintenance fund.
So kotche better kabayis. Then, well, at this point, the Gemara thinks that you are allowed to shear, and therefore it has to tell you that the shearings that come off that is not given to the Kohen. Freddy Gemara, what do you mean, Kotcha Bere Kabayis? We are Rabbi Lozer said, Kotcha Bere Kabayis is Asurim Begizav Avodah. Also, Kotcha Bere Kabayis is not allowed to shear. It's still property of Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to shear it. So the Gemara answers, that's only Midrabbanan. Rabbi Lozer's statement that it's Asur is Midrabbanan. But Min HaTorah, Lai Shaga is Becher Tzeinecha, applies only to a Kedusha Zaguf, to a Karban Mamish, but Kedusha Bere Kabayis Min HaTorah, you're allowed to shear it, and therefore you had to tell me that it's not mechuyev in Reish Zageis. So the Gemara, you would have thought without the Mishnah that Hoyle Midoraisa B'nei Gizodinu, since Min HaTorah it is permitted to shear Berakabais, Heichet the Gazazlei, therefore if the treasurer, the Gizbar, sheared it, for example, Leisavlei, you have to give it to the Kohen. Yeah, so therefore, he says, the Mishnah tells us it doesn't apply to Mekdashim. Freddy Gemara, just a cotton picking minute. How can you give it to a Kohen? It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It's merely, you can't just take something that's belonged to you and give it to a Kohen, but Kodishla, it's holy. It belongs to God. What are you doing talking about giving it to a Kohen? Why would you think you give it to the Kohen? As is the Gemara, Solka Daita Chavina, you would have thought, Lifrek, that you're obligated to redeem it. Because Pekotcha Berek Abayis is only financial benefit for the Beis HaMikdash. If you give the Beis HaMikdash a chair, there's not much a Beis HaMikdash can do with it. So the Beis HaMikdash is going to do is sell it on eBay, and the money they'll use for whatever they need. So therefore, this is only... So you would think that you need to take this wool and redeem it, and when you redeem it, the money that someone pays for it, so you sell it on eBay, the money becomes Kodesh, and the wool belongs to whoever bought it. That's it. So you might think he needs to redeem it velasively and then give the rashis to the Kohen. So therefore, the Mishnah tells you, no, you don't need to do that. Fred the Gemara again, how could I think that you do it? It needs to be evaluated. Yeah? Now, how are you? And how do you evaluate it? It has to stand there. Since it's an animal, so it needs hamad of a haracha. Now, when you've sheared the sheep, you've got wool. Wool isn't so good at standing up, and therefore it couldn't stand up and be evaluated. So therefore, like we learned already before, that once something is not stand-upable, you can't redeem it anymore. So therefore, so the assumption is, it actually says that any balei chayim, right, when you make the sheep holy for Berek Abayis, if you ever want to redeem that sheep, it has to be able to stand. So if the sheep died and can't stand up anymore, you cannot redeem it and use the carcass, yeah? It's bad luck, it's dead, it's finished. Right? Now, what about the wool? So Rashi said, extrapolation is that even though wool is not alive, but since it comes from an animal, and when you made it hektish, that whole animal, in order to redeem it, would have to be able to be stood up so that you could evaluate it. So now that the wool has been detached, you can't stand up the wool anymore, and that obligation to stand it up is still there, and therefore you couldn't redeem it anyway. So vaita, why would you think that you have to give it to the Kohen? It makes sense according to the one who says so there's a whole machlokes when the Torah says that if you have an animal which is not bringable as a carbon, either it's not the right species or it got a mum, whatever it might be. So what does it say in Parshas Bechukosai? It says if you got a behema shaloya krivu menu korban lashem, you can't. It's an animal which you cannot bring as a korban. Behemi they saw, yeah. If then you have to make it stand up. Beheri chaysay a koyin, and the koyin will evaluate how much money to give in order to redeem it. Yeah. So when it says an animal which you're not going to bring as a korban, yeah. So there's two ways to interpret it. You can either say it means including berek habayis, only when it's given as a gift but not as a korban, or you could say no, it's talking about animals that were given for a korban, but they cannot be used for whatever reason it is. They're balmum or the wrong type or whatever. Yeah. So that's an argument about what's included in that vehemid veherich. So if you say kotcher berek habayis lo hayu b'chal hamarav aracha, then you could take the wool. You don't need to make it stand up. You could redeem the wool and theoretically redeem the wool and give it to the kohen. And therefore the Mishnah needs to tell you that you don't have to. It doesn't apply to berek habayis. El leman tamar hayu, but according to the one who says that it has to stand up even if it's berek habayis, that means this wool is not redeemable anyhow. Is again, what only the Mishnah tell me that it doesn't apply? Is Ma'ikal Ameimar? How are you going to explain Pshat in the Mishnah? His answer is Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish. Rav Mani Bar Patish says, Mishum Rabbi Yanai, the name of Rabbi Yanai, Hocha B'makdish Behemte L'Berek Habayis Chutz Mizizoy Seha. Here we're talking about where when he made it, he gave it as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, but he didn't even give the wool in the first place. He said, I am donating this sheep to the Beis HaMikdash except for the wool. That a wool that comes off the sheep is going to still be mine. Aha. So now you would really think that you have to give the rashis to the kohen. So you would think in such a circumstance, ligzais, you shear the sheep, the lace of lay, and give the first shearings to the kohen. Because the shearings, you never made hektish in the first place. And therefore the Torah is telling you, Omar krat sain chavalayin shal hektish, that even though the shearings are yours, but the sheep is not yours, it has to be tzaincha, it has to be your sheep. If the sheep is hektish, even though the wool is yours, you do not need to give reishis hageis. Shrei de gemara oi bazoi, ihachi, kachem is beech nami. So why can't you do the same thing with a carbon? You're not allowed to lay sagas becher tzenecha, it's a bad example, because becher is kadosh merechem, but let's say you have an animal that's not a becher, and it's some animal that you were maktish, and I said, Hare zu oila, chutz megizei seha. That I'm going to shear it first and keep the wool, and then you can bring it as an oila. So he was never maktish the wool in the first place. Yeah. So therefore you could say now that the pshat in the Mishnah is even by a carbon. Why does it tell you, if it tell you there's no register gaze by a carbon? Because he was maktish, chutz megizei seha. So the Gemara says, no, by a carbon, you can't shear it even if the wool was not, you didn't make the wool hektish, because kochshi, when you shear that sheep, it weakens the sheep somehow. It I don't know what, the sheep gets...
It catches a cold,
whatever. It does some damage to the sheep, and therefore if the animal's a korban, even if you weren't maktish the wool, you're not allowed to shear it, because it's going to have a negative impact on the sheep itself. Yeah, and that's why you can't shear it. If that's true, then you shouldn't be allowed to shear even when it's not a carbon, even when it's only a financial asset. Because if you're cutting off the wool, it's going to damage the animal itself. That animal itself belongs to the hektish. So the Gemara answers, yeah, but with that, the Omar, he can maktish it chutz megiza ukhisha. He can say, I maktish the sheep, except for the shearings and any weakening of the animal that comes with it. So then, theoretically, he could shear it. So the Gemara says the same. Say, "Ibazay kachem is beech nami." You could say the same thing by a carbon. Diyamar chut begiza uchisha, except for the shearings and the weakenings. So the Gemara answers, "No, because when you maktish kedushas aguf, afilo hachi pashak dusha b'chulu. If you try to make something a carbon, except for part of it, if you say half of this animal is a carbon, or some part of this animal is a carbon." So we learned the famous thing, Umino Tamra, how do I know the whole thing becomes Kodesh? You can't do that. You can't say that the sheep is Kodesh except for the wool if it's a carbon. You can do it for Berek HaBayis because it's only a financial interest. But you cannot do it for a carbon. You can't say this sheep is a carbon oil except for the wool. No such thing. Umino Tamra, how do I know there's no such thing? Yomar Rabbi Yosi, Vahalev Mugdoshin, that in the case of Mugdoshim, of Karbonai, so Emer Raglash Alzu Oila, Kula Oila. That if he says the foot of this animal is an oila, the whole thing becomes an oila. You can't make just the foot of an animal an oila, and automatically the whole thing's an oila. So over here, when he says everything except the wool, automatically the wool becomes an oila anyway. That's according to Rabbi Yosi. The fiddle Rabbi Meir the Omar ain't kula oila. Even Rabbi Meir, who argues with Rabbi Yosi and says, if you say the foot of this animal is an oila, we don't say that the whole animal becomes an oila is hani mili the aktish dover shen hashamat luyabo. That's only with the foot, because a foot is not the chosh of a part that the whole animal's life depends on. Yeah, and therefore Rabbeinu says the foot is kodesh, so you'll redeem the foot and take the money and go and buy an oila with it. Aval hiktish dover shen hashamat luyabo. But if he was maktish the heart or some part of the animal, the head, where the animal cannot live without it, even Rav Meir agrees, kotcha, that the whole thing is kodesh, and therefore there's no circumstance where you can be maktish a sheep without its wool, because you're maktish the whole sheep. Yeah, that means automatically the kedusha goes on everything, including the wool. Okay, so that's they were saying the pshat in the mishnah lev mukdashin is we're talking about kotcha better kapayis, where he was maktish it except for the wool. Rava Omar. You don't have to say that. He said, but Maktish Giza Atzma. And don't say it was Maktish the sheep. It was Maktish just the wool. He was Maktish just the wool. So then there's no Reish Zageis. What's the Havamina? Why would you think there is Reish Zageis when the wool belongs to Hektish? Solka Daita Chamina. You would think, Ligza, is that you're allowed to shear it. Well, the animal's not Kodesh. So for sure you can shear the wool off. Shear it. The Lifrei can redeem the wool. The Leisavle and give it to the Kohen. And here you wouldn't have the problem of hamora v'haracha, because you weren't maktish the animal. You were only maktish the wool. So if you're maktish an inanimate object, obviously it doesn't need to stand up, because inanimate objects aren't generally capable of standing up on themselves. So therefore you would think that take this wool, redeem it from financial value to hektish, and then take those shearings and give some to the kohen. Is therefore omakra. Geis tzoncha titen loy. We learn it from geis tzoncha titen loy. We're not even learning from the word tzoncha. We're learning from the word titen loy. Give it to him as soon as it's wool. Give it to him. Misha em mechusav al gziz unasina. Only things that need to be sheared and given. Yatzazesh mechusav giz apti unasina. And in this case, you would have to shear it, redeem it, and give it. So that's not what it's talking about. So we're learning from the word titen rava. Is if that's the case, ala tzoncha lemayasa. Why does it say tzoncha, which is mashma your sheep and not someone else's? L'chiratanya to teach you, like the Brisa. Behemus ashtuf l'chaya b'eshtageis, that the first Tana says that if you have partners who own a sheep, then when they shear it, they have to give b'eshtageis, and Rabbi Eloi is Peter. And Rabbi Elazar says that you don't have to if it's a partnership. And my time of the Rabbi Eloi, what's the Rabbi Eloi's reason? Oh, my cross, tzoncha v'lesh ashtufis, tzoncha is singular, when it's your sheep, not if it's a partnership sheep. And Rabbanon, what do they do with Sain Chalima Ute, Shutvasev the Kechavim? They say two Jews who own it have to give Reish Zageis, but a Jew and a Goy are partners, they don't have to. Okay, so that's how we learn from Sain Chal. So we've solved that problem. Now, Le'etzim Achloikis between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Eloi and the Chachamim, Rabbi Eloi, Shutvasev the Kechavim, Minole, how does he know that a Jew who has a partner with a Goy, there's no Reish Zageis involved? There's Nafka Le'i, Mereish Zakra. He learns from the beginning of the Pasuk. It says Reishis the Goncha before it says Reishis the Gaze in the same pasuk. Reishis the Goncha, which is Truma. Reishis the Goncha, yeah, the first of your grain, which you give Truma. And that excludes when it's a partnership with the Goy. And Rabbi Loi says it sits in the same pasuk. Therefore, they're comparing the two. And just like the Truma, if the Goy is involved, you don't have to give it. So with Reishis the Gaze, if a Goy is involved, you don't have to give it. But Rabbanon, why can't they learn it from there? Because Reishis Yivzaki Inan. It says Reishis the Goncha and Reishis Geis Tzoncha. The Torah said the word Reishis twice to tell you these are two different things. Don't learn one from the other. So then how can Rabbi Loi learn it? Because Rabbi Loi says the Vav Hadar Arve. The Vav of Vireishis Geis Tzoncha puts them back together to compare the Reishis Geis to the Truma. But Rabbanon would tell you, you can't say that the Vav puts them back together. Because if the Torah wanted it to be together, Loi Nita Rachmana Loi Vav Loi Reishis. Leave, don't split them and don't put them together. Just leave them the way they were. And Rabbi Loi says, why does it split them? I did the Hakadusha's Domin Bahakadusha's Aguv, Pasik Lo, because Truma is intrinsically holy. It's a holiness that you can't redeem Truma. Yeah, Truma's Kadusha's Aguv, and Reish Zageis is not holy. Yeah, you just have to give it to the Koyein. It's Pasik Lo. Therefore, the Torah splits them up so they're not exactly the same. Vahadar Arvelu, then it puts the Vav back in to say that it is the same in the fact that if a Goy is a partner, you don't have to give it. The Iboy Seima, or I could tell you that the Chachamim Taka hold Shufus of a Goy is Mechayiv in Truma. Because Shufus of a Kechavim in Truma, Rabbanan Chayiv in Mechayiv. The Rabbanan say if a Goy is a partner in your grain, you have to give Truma. The Tanya we learned in the Braise Yisrael, if a Jew and a Goy own a field in partnership, is Teva v'chulim urabin zebezeh divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, each piece of grain is a mixture of tevel and chulin. So you got a problem. You could possibly take truma from somewhere else to get rid of the tevel. But otherwise, you got tevel and chulin mixed together, you can't eat it. But anyway, it's mechuyev. When they split it, then the Jew, what he took is mechuyev in truma. Veshlevikechavim is potter, even though when it grew, it was a partnership. Yeah, so the Rabbanan will say that truma is mechuyev. And Adkan, like Pligi, the argument between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether it's Tevel and Chulin mixed together, or it's not considered mixed together, is depends if he holds Breira. The Mar Sober Yesh Breira, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, once they divided, that proves that in the first place that belonged to the Jew and that belonged to the Goy, so the Jew will give Truma and the Goy won't. And Mar Sober ain't Breira. According to Rebbe, there's no Breira, so even when they split it, it's still a mixture of Tevel and Chulin mixed together. But the etzem idea that when there's a goyish partner, divrei hakol chayevus, everybody agrees that you have to give truma, except Rabbi Loi. So that's what the Chacham will say. Or I can tell you that travail Rabbi Loi mitzayin chanafka, the Rabbi Loi doesn't learn from the truma. Leave the truma out of it. How does Rabbi Loi know about shufras a goy? There's no reish that gaze? Because mitzayin chanafka. From Tzoncha, because why? What did he learn from Tzoncha? That if two Jews are partners, there's nothing, there's no rage that case. It's shufis that we can have him my time, and I can learn them both. Because if I say, let's exclude shufis a goy, why? What's the reason why when there's a goyish partner, there's no rage that case? To let me achtel al Yisrael, because it doesn't belong to you. It's not specifically only to you. Where am I? Lots of place. Is the Yisrael Nami. If you have two Jews who are partners, it's also Lemi Achtelay. It's not Tzincha. It's not designated just for you. And the Rabbanan, why do the Rabbanan need two different Lemurim? Because Evi Kechavim Lav Barchi Yuvahu. When you're partner with a Goy, you're partner with someone who is not involved in the whole mitzvah. But a Yisrael Barchi Yuvahu, so you would think that he is Mechoyev. Okay, I guess we're stopping over here because he's leaving. I'll try to catch up tomorrow.